Almighty God, we want to begin our time of hearing your word with a prayer of willingness and honesty and submission. And I pray for all of us here who have come here and we're running. We're running the wrong direction. We'd turn around this morning and we'd start running to your arms. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever had the urge to run? There's a story in the news recently about a Jack Russell Terrier who ran away from its owner. Its owner lived in Huntington, Pennsylvania. The dog took off. And 5 months later, someone found the dog in Oregon. Yes, that's right. The dog ran from Pennsylvania all the way across the United States, 2,700 miles, to Oregon. Someone finds the dog, takes it to a shelter. They use a microchip embedded in its skin to identify the dog and to relay it back to the owner in Pennsylvania. They put the dog on a plane, send it all the way back to Pennsylvania. They're going to have this grand reunion with the owner. It's been gone for 5 months, 2,700 miles. They have this special moment. There are camera crews present to watch this great reunion. The family shows up with big posters that say, "Welcome home, Gidget," which is the dog's name. There's going to be this great Kodak moment. They bring the dog off the plane. They set the dog down on the ground in front of the owner. And you know what the dog does? It runs. This time they caught it before it left the airport parking lot. But someone came to the owner and said, "What is wrong with your dog? Why does it keep running?" And the owner said, "It's in her nature to explore." And maybe that's the same way with us. It's in our nature. It's in our nature to want to run. If you're like me, maybe this past week you felt this urge when we heard that the first confirmed case of Ebola was in Dallas. First confirmed case in the United States in Dallas. And you heard that, maybe you wanted to run. It's in our nature to want to run. When we're faced with a dangerous situation, we want to run. Faced with a risky situation, we want to run. When we're faced with an awkward situation, we want to run. Southwest Airlines has taken hold of this idea, and they've used it in their marketing strategy. You've probably seen it before, "Want to get away." They have these commercials where there's someone who does something very foolish or embarrassing. They say something, and it creates this awkward moment, and then comes the tagline, "Want to get away?" I found one of those online. Let me show you a quick TV spot real quick, if we can play it.
"Maybe this isn't the best time to say it, but I think you're really beautiful."
"Well, I've always been attracted to you too, Paul."
"Wait, hold on one sec, babe. Excuse me?
Want to get away? Now you can. Fly Southwest Airlines for just $39.99.
You've seen him before. The awkward situation. And that urge comes in. The need, what's in a part of our nature. We want to run. And Southwest says, "We can help you. We can facilitate that for a small fee. We can help you run." Well, as we begin this series of lessons from the book of Jonah, as we open up the book, as Wes read it to us, it's a story of a man who wants to run. Except he's not running away from a violent disease. He's not running away because he wants to explore, because that's the kind of dog that he is. He's not even running away from an awkward moment. He's running away from grace. He's running away from grace. We don't know a whole lot about Jonah. His story is very brief. We're told that he is the son of Amittai. His name means dove in Hebrew. But the most important point that you need to know about Jonah is that he was a prophet. He was God's man. He was someone who God had called to be his mouthpiece, to proclaim his message, to share of God's wonders to other people. That's who he was. And so God comes to God's man, and he says, I have a calling for you. And in my mind, I kind of imagine this conversation maybe going something like this. Jonah begins the prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this awesome, wonderful gift of life. You pour wonders and blessings and love and grace into my life every single day. Thank you so much for that. I just want to be your servant. I just want to be your man. I want to be your prophet. I want to be your mouthpiece that speaks for you. I want to be the tool that you use for your glory and for your kingdom. I want to be an instrument for your peace. I want to be a vessel that displays your majesty. Lord, use me. Let me be your hands and feet so that your name will be known. What's that, God? Oh, you have a task for me. Oh, well, wonderful. I want to be used by you, God. So tell me the task. Wait, say that again, God. Nineveh. You said, Nineveh? You want me to go to Nineveh and preach? Even though I am an Israelite, a Jew, you want me to go to Nineveh, not Israel, and preach? Now, God, you understand those people over in Nineveh? I mean, they're like sinners. I mean, I know I'm a sinner, and you know everyone else is a sinner, but they're like really bad sinners over there. They do things that we don't even want to talk about how bad they are. And you're telling me you want me to go over there and preach? God, what are people going to think? What's my family going to think? What are the other prophets going to think? I mean, you told me, Lord, be holy, for you are holy. For I am holy. And you want me to go in the middle of a whole bunch of unholy people and preach. I mean, people aren't going to think that I'm very holy. I'm going to ruin my witness, Lord. I'm going to ruin my reputation. If I go over to Nineveh and be around a whole bunch of unholy people, you want me to go over there and preach? And besides that, Lord, they're not going to listen. Those people, they worship all kinds of strange gods, and they do all kinds of weird things to worship their gods. They are not going to listen when I come to them and tell them there's one true God, and I worship him. They're not going to listen at all. It's futile. Why do you want me to go over there and preach? And besides that, Lord, on top of that, they might hurt me. When I'm an enemy to them. And when I go over there and I preach this message to the people of Nineveh that all they believe is wrong and that they need to follow the one true God, they're going to harass me, they're going to ridicule me, and they could even kill me, Lord. No, I'm not doing this. I'm not going. I will not preach this message. Have you ever been chosen for a task that you didn't want to do? I remember when I was growing up, I'd go to summer camp. Our cabin would be chosen to do certain chores around the camp. I didn't want to do that. We were chosen. I didn't want to do those chores. I remember when I was in college, I was chosen to kiss a pig. It was a fundraiser. Somehow I won. I had to go up in chapel in front of the whole student body and kiss a pig. The pig squealed. It was very embarrassing. I was chosen for a task I didn't want to do. Sometimes my wife chooses me to do certain tasks around the house, like cleaning up bathroom messes. I don't want to do that. I'm chosen. It's not fun to be chosen for a task that you don't want to do. And that's what happens with Jonah. He's chosen to go preach to Nineveh. God comes to him and Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, and he says, arise and go, and go to the great city of Nineveh and cry out against it, for its great evil has come up before me. He doesn't want to do that. And there have been occasions in the Old Testament where prophets question the call of God. Isaiah questioned God's call because he thought he was too sinful. Jeremiah questioned God's call because he thought he was too young. Amos questioned God's call because he thought he had a bad background. There's only one prophet in all the Old Testament that stubbornly rebelled against the call of God, and it was Jonah. He did not want to do it. I like the way one writer puts it. You know the song we sing, Trust and Obey? Chorus, trust and obey, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. One writer said, Jonah did not sing that song. Jonah did not write that song. Jonah hates that song. He does not want to trust and obey. That's not going to make him happy in Jesus. And maybe the reason why he doesn't want to trust and obey is because fundamentally, what God called him to does not match up with his personal agenda. As he thought about his vision for what it meant to be a prophet, I am thoroughly convinced he never in his wildest dreams thought it meant going to Nineveh to preach. That was not a part of his personal plan in life as a prophet, to go to Nineveh. And I think that's a very powerful point that we need to understand, that sometimes God calls us to things that we don't want to do, that does not line up with what we personally want to do. He may call us to places that we do not want to go. He may call us to people that we don't want to serve. He may call us to preach messages that we don't want to speak. And sometimes we like to think that God's call is always going to line up with my personal desires. And what I want is what God wants, and what God wants is what I want. And it just all goes together. And Jonah is a stark reminder that that is not always the case. Sometimes God has a completely different plan that we do not want. I like the way this one person put it. It says, the mission that God has for his people is often quite different from the mission statements they write for themselves. Isn't that right? I guarantee you that Jonah never felt like that his mission statement in life was to go to Nineveh, but that's where God called him to. And we want to serve God on our terms and in our way and in our time and with our goals. And sometimes God says, I've got something completely different for you and you're not going to like it, but it's what I want you to do. Sometimes God calls us to a place when we would rather be somewhere else. Sometimes God calls us to a foreign country when we would rather be at home. Sometimes God calls us home when we'd rather be in a foreign country. Sometimes God calls us to speak grace to our neighbor when we would just rather move. Sometimes God calls us to minister to the least of these when we would just rather cater to the wealthy. Sometimes God calls us to suffer when we would rather be well. Sometimes God calls us to serve when we would rather be served. Sometimes God calls us to preach when we would rather be quiet. Sometimes God calls us to a ministry when we would rather sit in a pew. Sometimes God calls us to Nineveh when we would rather be in Israel. Don't tell God, I will never go to that place, I will never talk to that person, I will never participate in that ministry, because it very well may be true that that's where God calls you. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, but God called him there. And so Jonah responds within his own nature. He does what's in our nature. He runs. He goes down to Joppa and goes down onto a ship that's heading to Tarshish. Nineveh was to the east of where he was. Tarshish is to the west. And we don't know a whole lot about that city. We know it was a port city. It's mentioned a handful of times in Scripture. But what we think we know about that city is that it was a place of great wealth and trade, and there was a lot of ships that would go from Tarshish to other places carrying gold, silver, and a lot of precious metals. And it could be that Jonah decided, I want to go there, not only because it's the opposite direction from Nineveh, but because there I can get engaged in materialistic wealth and trade. I can bury myself in frivolous pursuits of career and materialism. That's much better than listening to the call of God. And so he gets on this ship heading that direction. But God doesn't let him go. Because you can run from God, but you can't hide from him. And so he sends a wind that creates a storm. And it becomes very apparent to the sailors that this storm is much bigger than they can handle. So they start to do some attempts to try to deal with the storm. The first attempt they do is they cry out to their own gods. And they try to ask their own gods to protect them, which does them no good. Then they start to throw over that cargo, that precious cargo. Gold, precious metals. They throw that cargo over into the ocean, trying to lighten the ship so it might make it through the storm. That doesn't help at all. And so finally, one of the captain of the sailors goes down below the deck to find Jonah sleeping. The one thing successful that Jonah does in chapter 1 is he falls asleep. Because sometimes when you're running away from God, you just want to check out on life, and what better way to do it than to throw the covers over your head and just go to sleep. And the captain comes down and says to him, in effect, "What are you doing? We're fighting for our lives up here, and you're down here asleep. Come up here and call upon your God that he might take notice of us." And so Jonah gets back on the deck, but he doesn't pray. It never mentions in chapter 1 that Jonah prays. Why? Because when you're running away from God, you don't want to talk to him. You don't want to talk to him. The sailors decide to throw lots or cast lots to figure out who the problem is. The lots fall on Jonah. And all the sailors are now a captive audience for Jonah. And they say, "Who are you? Where are you from? What's your background? What's going on?" And Jonah gives a very general response. He says, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God who made the sea and the earth." And when they hear that phrase, "who made the sea," the sailors connect the dots. Jonah had told them before he got on that ship that he was running away from his God. That didn't matter to them. They didn't care because that was between him and his God. That's his business. It's not our business. But when they realized that his God was the God who made the sea and controls all things that happen in the sea, they realize his business is now our business. Because he's running away from God, we're going to die. And so the sailors say to Jonah the very same statement that God said to Eve and God said to Cain after they committed sin. They say, "What have you done? What have you done, Jonah? You're running away from the God who made it all. What have you done?" Jonah says, "I know how to fix it. Just throw me overboard." Jonah would rather die than answer the call of God. And so the sailors pray for forgiveness. They pray to the true God for forgiveness. And they take Jonah and they throw him overboard. And it's pretty easy for us to be hard on Jonah. He should have just been more obedient. You're right. He should have. He should have known that if you try to run away from God, you can't escape God's presence. He's everywhere. His presence fills the earth. There is no place where you can hide from God. That's right. He should have known that. But here is the truth of the matter. Don't let the story of Jonah fool you. Don't let it slip by you without understanding the whole point of the story. Here's the whole point of Jonah chapter 1. We are Jonah. We are Jonah. And we can be hard on him, but the fact of it is that each one of us, in our own ways, in our own times, in our own seasons of life, we have been the one running from grace. There are some of us that we run from grace, God's grace to us. And we've been living in a wicked, in a sinful manner. We've been living in a way that's disobedient to God. And we know that God wants us to come to him, to run to his arms and receive his grace and to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ and receive the forgiveness that Christ gives us through the cross. We understand that and we know that, but we've been running from it, just like Jonah. There's others of us that have been baptized before, but we're still running because we haven't fully embraced the grace that God wants to give us. We've been running. And there's others of us that we've been running from God's grace for others. We've received grace into our life. We've been baptized and we're trying to be a faithful servant of God. We have received God's grace into our life, but as our theme for the whole year states, God wants his grace to overflow. He doesn't want us just to be a little reservoir that keeps God's grace for ourselves and our own heart. He wants it to overflow. He wants it to overflow to the poor and the homeless of our neighborhood. He wants it to overflow to the children and the families of this neighborhood. He wants it to overflow to the jails and the halfway houses. He wants it to overflow to the schools and the college campuses in Fort Worth. He wants it to overflow to the sick and the diseased, even those that are diseased with Ebola. He wants it to overflow to the orphans in Liberia, to the children in Ukraine, to the villages of Ecuador. He wants it to overflow to the whole world. And he's called his people, his men and his women to stand up and to be that vessel and to be that instrument and to be that tool and to be that person who proclaims the message. And he's called us. He's called you and he's called me, and we run. We run. We bury ourselves in materialistic wealth and selfish gain, hoping that we forget all about God's call. We bury ourselves in spiritual slumber below the deck while the pagan sailors are dying by the storm. And we run. We run from God's call. And the story of Jonah reminds us that when we run, God will not leave us alone. He loves us too much to leave us alone. And so he sends the wind. And he sends the storm. And even in some cases, he sends the pagan sailor captain to wake us up and to say, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Stop running and answer the call. Stop fleeing from God's presence and go. Stop being asleep and arise and follow God's invitation. Trust and obey." And so this morning, I want to challenge you. What is it that God has called you to that you're running away from? What is it that God has been knocking on the door of your heart and you've been ignoring it because you've invested yourself in materialistic gain and wealth? What is it that God has invited you into but you have not been aware because you've been spiritually asleep? What is it? What have you been running from? Let's stop running. Let's stop running. We're going to have shepherds surround this building. I encourage you during this next song to walk to one of our shepherds. And maybe this is your prayer. This is your confession. Pray for me that I can stop running and that I can hear God's call. God's call for his grace to come into my life, or his call for God's grace to go to others. However we can help you do that, we want to do that. If you're ready to become a Christian, receive baptism, receive the forgiveness of sins that comes through the waters of baptism, receive God's Spirit inside of you, we'd love to help you and welcome you into God's family. If we can help you do that, just come to the front as we sing. Let's stand and sing. Let's stop running.